given an eviction order that which has came effective on Monday at 4 o'clock. But what happened is that we filed an emergency declaration under the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Heritage Act of 1984. And that effectively gave us 30 days reprieve, 30 days grace, in which we can further identify the site and infrastructure pertaining to the site and how we're going to protect that site.
As Robert Corowa explains, the issues that Camp Sovereignty is trying to highlight go to the core of the stalled reconciliation process in Australia.
Camp Sovereignty came under the first banner. Our first role was to notify the people of the genocide, the sovereignty that the Aboriginal people have over the land, and a treaty should be made to make some sort of progress in reconciliation.
Chris Graham, the editor of the National Indigenous Times newspaper, says that ongoing protests like Camp Sovereignty can provide non-Indigenous Australians with an insight into a way of life that they know very little about.
I think they prick the conscience of Australians by being very in your face. Look, I haven't been to Camp Sovereignty, but I've seen photos of it and I know the people involved, and it's virtually identical to the Aboriginal Tent Embassy in Canberra. And one of the great ironies of both those sites is that people live at those embassies in a similar way to how a lot of Aboriginal people live in regional, remote Australia. I'm not saying they live in tents, but many of them live in caravans. The difference in Canberra and Melbourne, of course, is that the protesters there have access to a myriad of services. They have access not only to public transport, but to they have access to water and they have access to warmth. That's not the case in a lot of areas. So at the very least, these embassies give people in urban centres a bit of an idea as to how Aboriginal people live outside of the major cities.
So how do you respond then to the Prime Minister's comments that Camp Sovereignty could set back the course of reconciliation?
I think it's complete rubbish. I mean, it might set back John Howard's cause in putting the best possible spin on Aboriginal affairs, and I'm sure it does, but it doesn't set back the cause of reconciliation. And I don't know who John Howard thinks he is. I think he believes he's the person who should define what reconciliation is, and he's probably the last man in this country who should. I mean, this is a guy with a history of vilification of Aboriginal people and ignoring the needs of Aboriginal people for more than a decade. So I think he's just talking rubbish on Aboriginal affairs as per usual.
He said that the sensible face of reconciliation is where you cooperate to try and remedy wrongs and help people become part of the community in the fullest possible sense. What's your response to this in 2006?
Well, he's had 10 years in government. He's just celebrated a decade. Now, how has he helped remedy the wrongs of against Aboriginal people and helped people become part of the community in the fullest possible sense? I mean, John Howard has been Prime Minister for 10 years and the cause of and the health of Aboriginal people continues to slide backwards. So not only is the guy failing in terms of reconciliation in a symbolic sense and making it known to Aboriginal people that Australia is sorry for its past, but he's failed in his own practical reconciliation agenda, and that is the delivery of basic services to Aboriginal people.
For Chris Graham at the National Indigenous Times, protest camps like Camp Sovereignty and the Aboriginal Tent Embassy in Canberra do provide important places of reconciliation that can increase understanding between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians and overseas visitors.
The Tent Embassy in Canberra, for example, is right out the front of Old Parliament House. It's right on the tourist map. And if I had a dollar for every time a foreign tourist has popped down to the embassy to have a look, I'd be a very wealthy man. And Melbourne, I suspect, will be no different. And that is, I think, essentially why politicians react so badly to protests like this, because they really do highlight government failure after government failure after government failure.